पञ्चकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपश्चिन्दुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. The Lord's holy name is called Shravana Mangala. One receives everything auspicious simply by hearing the holy name. Srila Prabhupada. The holy name is called Shravana Mangala. One receives everything auspicious by hearing the holy name. From the Srimad Bhagavatam. Simply by chanting your holy name, one can surpass all obstacles. Does anybody have any obstacles? Now you know how to surpass them. What did we say yesterday? If the obstacles are there, that means the chanting is not yet pure. Because when the chanting is pure, there will be no obstacles. And how do we understand that? Obstacles are described as anartha. Artha means something which has value. So anartha means something without value. It could be like a disease. You consider disease an anartha. It's something you don't want. Artha is what you want. Anartha is what you don't want. So, in the process of bhakti, there's a stage called anartha nibritti. And anartha nibritti means the end of anarthas. Or almost the end. Close to the end. They're dying quickly. That's anartha nibritti. And after anartha nibritti, you get to a stage which is called, who knows the stage? Nishta. And nishta means what? Steady. The connotation of being steady is that there aren't obstacles, because obstacles are what cause us to be unsteady. Things get in the way of our bhakti. And the stage of nista, we will achieve that stage through the process of bhakti, which is primarily performed by chanting. So the verse says, simply by chanting your holy name, one can surpass all obstacles, which means it takes you through the stages, past anartha, to steadiness, where the obstacles subside. And after you get from steady, when you get to steadiness, then it's like you're driving on a road and it's full of potholes. And you finally get it to a nice road and then you can go faster. So anartha nibritti is like the potholes. You can't go very fast. The road was so bad to Mayapur when I first came, it almost took 5 hours to get there. And they fixed the road now. I went from Mayapur to Calcutta in 3 hours. But initially it took five.
Is the green light on? No, see, it's not.
Yeah, it's not working.
Yeah. Okay.
This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I will beg, borrow, or steal the nectar of the holy name. So for those of you who weren't here, we were having a discussion about getting a taste for the holy name. And so here Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying, it's so important to get a taste for the holy name that even if I have to steal it, even if I have to beg it, or even I have to borrow it, I'll get it. And we were discussing this morning why it's important. Because when you get a taste for the holy name, what happens to your taste for things that are against Krishna? Where does that go?
It reduces.
You won't have it. So you kind of see this this scale going on here, right? Taste for the holy name goes up, taste for material life goes down. Taste for the holy name goes down, taste for material life goes up. Do you experience that?
Yes.
Practically on a moment-to-moment basis. Isn't it? So if the taste for the holy name gets really high, then you eventually come to this point where you have no taste for the material world at all. So there, if you have no taste, there's no impetus, because impetus comes from attraction. Prabhupada once said that he learned in school that household life is the impetus for economic development. He said, because if these men weren't married, they wouldn't be working. And he was walking in Beverly Hills, which is one of the richest neighborhoods in America, and beautiful homes. And he said, why do you think these homes are there? He said, it's sex desire. Because the man and woman come together, the man will work hard. He said, otherwise, you think the man would live in these nice houses if he wasn't married? Most men wouldn't, would they? So attraction is the impetus for activity. I've noticed something at our temples during feasts. If there's a preparation that's really, really good, I can guarantee you, you better get seconds quickly because it's going to be gone. I've seen this. And if there's a preparation like you put too much salt in it or you burned it, there'll always be leftovers. Have you noticed that? We have this preparation. We call it, what do we call it? Malpura. Do you have that here? Malpura. In America, if you make Malpura, doesn't matter how many buckets you make, it'll all be gone. I thought we should start a business. Because this is everyone's favorite preparation. So, attraction to an object is the impetus for action. So if attraction for Krishna goes up, what happens to the impetus for material life? It reduces. So we may still be engaged, but we're doing it out of duty, not because I enjoy so much these things. And if the attraction for the holy name goes down, the attraction for material life goes up, and therefore we're engaged more in material activities than we are in spiritual. Correct? So sometimes we see by where the heart is how we're doing in our spiritual life, by the attraction to matter or attraction to Krishna. So we're having this discussion during class this morning, and the discussion went further during prasadam. This Prabhu here, he's very determined. He knows that even if Krishna doesn't give an attraction, he'll never give up his bhakti. And then I said, but in the Nectar of Instruction, it says that Krishna's name is sweet like sugar candy.
It's in there. You want to turn it off?
It's sweet like sugar candy. So, once Prabhupada gave a lecture, I attended a lecture, and he said, see, I'm not an acharya, I didn't turn off my phone. Nobody home, Haribo. He said, when you don't have a taste for chanting, it's like if you put tape on your tongue, and then you ate something. How would it taste? Tastes like tape, right? Every preparation you take would taste the same, like tape. because that's what's on, your tongue is covered. So sometimes we're chanting and we're not tasting the name, we're just tasting our own consciousness. And then we think that the name has no taste. We're tasting the tape of our own consciousness. But the name is sweet. That's what the verse in Nectar of Instruction says. It's sweet like sugar candy. So the point is that when you advance, your senses become purified and you're able to taste the sweetness. That's a sign of the disease being cured. So that's how you know you're advancing. And then we said that Prabhupada said the symptom of an advanced devotee is his taste for chanting. So, Prabhus, if you can get the name by begging, if you can get the taste by begging, beg. If you can get the taste by stealing, steal. And if you can get the taste by borrowing, borrow. And so what does he mean? Well, sometimes you get the taste by sitting, Bhaktivinoda recommends, sit down next to a devotee and chant with him or her if he or she has a taste. And by osmosis, you can get a taste. Well, you can go up to an advanced devotee and say, Prabhu, can I steal your taste? No, first, can I beg your taste? Because if you don't give it, I'll steal it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur told me to do so. And you'll say, can I borrow your taste? And I say, I don't trust you, you won't give it back. No, I'll give it back, Prabhu. Just let me borrow for a while, just a day. I have to get a taste. So taste is important. Because the spiritual taste will destroy the material taste. And the material taste is why we're in the material world, isn't it? We wouldn't be here if we didn't have a material taste. Unless you came, you're a bodhisattva. The bodhisattva is the one who becomes perfect, and then they come back and take birth to save. So if you're a bodhisattva, you'll come back. But if you're not, you're coming back for a taste of the latest movie. Right? Or whatever it is you know. Oh, it's the Super Bowl. The doctor says, oh, you only have 7 days to live and the Super Bowl is on the 8th day. So doctor, can you extend my life 1 day? I have to watch the Super Bowl or whatever. What do you have here? What's the big match here?
Cricket,
yeah. Oh, the world cricket event is happening on the 8th day. You only have 7 days to live. So what? You come back in your next life as a cricket ball or something? So that's how it works. And so at least we have to be honest enough with ourselves to say these attractions are there because I don't have attraction for chanting. That's why. Okay, so now the importance of understanding this is that In the first verse of the Shishastakam, Lord Chaitanya lists 7 things that the holy name gives. So he glorifies the holy name. He says, the holy name will cleanse your heart. It will give you a taste of the full nectar for which you're always anxious. It's the life of all knowledge. So he gives these, there's 7 of them, he gives them, right? This is what the holy name will do. It will give you everything. It will satisfy your heart's desire. It will bring you to the lotus feet of Krishna. Glorifying the holy name. Then in the next verse, he laments. He said, this is what the holy name does, but I'm not even attracted to chanting. I don't even want to chant. He says, I am so unfortunate that I don't want to chant. Why? He said, because I commit offenses. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, when Lord Chaitanya spoke this verse, he began to lament. I have no attraction because I commit offenses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned something that we can do now, and I want to read to you what we're going to do. This is going to be a very nice exercise. We're all going to get to repent. Repentance means you feel sorry for something you've done. You feel remorseful. I shouldn't have done it, I feel sorry. And the idea of repentance is to bring your awareness to what you've done wrong so that you don't do it again. This is very prominent in Christianity, where if you commit a sin, you go to the priest and you confess, I've done this sin. Please forgive me. So that's not bad. The thing that Prabhupada criticized was you keep doing it again. Like there's a saying, it's okay to commit a mistake once. Not the same mistake over and over again. Okay, you're human, you made a mistake. Now you learn, don't do the same thing. Right? So, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. If one is sufficiently greedy for obtaining pure devotion, he'll chant free from the 10 offenses. He must diligently avoid each of the offenses with feelings of deep repentance for having ever committed them. Have you ever felt that way? Just another bad japa day. What else is new? You get on, go to work, right? No, if we have a bad japa day, we should feel, I offended Krishna today in his name. We should feel bad. If we don't feel bad, that's bad. It's bad if we don't feel bad. That's what he's saying here. I offended the holy name today. He goes on to say, he should pray sincerely at the lotus feet of the holy name and chant with determination. In other words, if we commit offenses, we are told in the scripture, the cure for the offense is to continue chanting. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us the detail. You chant in remorse and ask the holy name to forgive you for committing the offense. Because if you just chant continually making offense, you don't get any better. It's the remorse that improves you. Because that's the psychology of repentance. You're grieving, you're feeling deeply sorry for doing something wrong. It prevents you, it prevents the tendency to continue doing it because you're repenting. I shouldn't have done this. Whereas if you do it and you don't repent, you'll probably do it again. Does that make sense? You're acknowledging I've done something wrong. You're feeling sorry, I shouldn't have done it. You're repenting to the Lord, please forgive me for doing this. And you're not going to say, please forgive me, unless you're serious. So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is advising. Because our problem is, we commit offenses while chanting. That's the problem we're dealing with. The pure name of Krishna, Shuddhanam, when you chant it, you get love of Krishna. Business is finished, back to Godhead, Haribol. That's the goal, Shuddhanam, pure name. How is the pure name defined? When one is not committing any offense, that is the pure name. When one is reducing offenses, that is called Nam Abhas. The offense is you are chanting, but you are trying not to commit the offenses. That's called Nam Abhas. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati explained this. He said, Nam Abhas is when the devotee makes the effort to not commit the 10 offenses. So the key word is effort. He makes the effort not to commit. Sometimes we commit, but we make the effort not to. Inattention is an offense. We commit that offense, but we try not to. We try to bring our mind back. So he said the key word that distinguishes Nam Aparad from Nam Abhas, which is the second stage, I have a whole chart, but we can't show it because we don't have the projector. But we'll send this to you. If we have your email, you'll get the chart. Let me, maybe I can draw the chart for you. You have a bridge going over the Ganga from Navadvip to Mayapur. There is actually a bridge now. One side of the bridge is Nam Aparad. The other side of the bridge is Shuddhanam, the pure name of Krishna. Nam Abbas, or what we call the clearing stage, is the bridge. It gets you from Nam Aparad to Shuddhanam. If you chant Nam Aparad, you stay in Navadvip. You're not even on the bridge yet. So Bhaktisiddhanta says, when you make the effort to get out of Navadvip, that means you're moving out of Aparad, you're making the effort not to commit Aparad, then you're in Nam Abbas, the clearing stage. You're on the bridge, and you're moving towards Shuddhanam. In the stage of Nam Aparad, there is no spiritual benefit. There may be material benefit, but no spiritual benefit. So you're chanting, 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 committing offense, no benefit. The benefit begins in the stage of Nam Abbas. That's the stage of Anartha Nivritti. That's where you become purified. But Nam Abbas does not give you love of God. It's just clearing your heart. And the bridge has a beginning and an end, so you can see that there's a higher stage and a lower stage. Nam Abbas is compared to the sunrise, when you don't see the sun but the light is up. So you're not going to get heat stroke at dawn. You'll get heat stroke at noon. The pure name is the sun at noon with no clouds. Nam Abbas is twilight or dark, the sun, the morning when the sun is rising. But you don't see the sun. So there's some light but not full effect. So there's some effect in the form of Anartha Nivritti, and then the seeds of higher stages, the seed of taste, the seeds of desire, it's all coming, but it's not pure love yet. You see, so you've got the visual in your mind of the bridge. We want to at least get on the bridge, because if we're not on the bridge, we can't get to Shuddhanam. But the bridge is not the goal, because what good is being on the bridge? Because now you're really still not there. The bridge, you want to get to the other side, the pure holy name. So our goal is to chant Shuddhanam. That's the goal. And Bhaktivinoda said, just one Shuddhanam is enough to kill your material life. So we're on the bridge of Nam Abbas. The goal is to get to the other side of the bridge of Shuddhanam. And chant one. And if you chant one, you can't stop chanting at that point. Then you'll be like that other guru, Sannyasi, who said, Prabhu, I can't chant 16 rounds. I can only chant 32. Or you might be, Prabhu, I can't chant my 16 rounds. I can only chant 48. Or I can only chant 64. So when the devotee chants, the devotee thinks, oh Krishna, please let me chant one Shuddhanam. And because he knows that's the goal. If I could just get there, Shuddhanam, that's it. Business is finished. There's a problem. There's a supreme paradox. Are you ready for the paradox?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you're ready. Are you ready outside there? Prashant, are you ready? Prashant's not ready, yes. Now he's ready. The goal is Shuddhanam. Shuddha means pure. Pure name means chanted without any offense. Scripture says you can't chant the pure name unless you're pure. Oh, no. The goal is the pure name, and now I'm told I can't chant unless I'm pure. Hang these beads up, I give up. Finish. Why try? No, it's not as bad as it sounds. But you'll get to pure by chanting impurely. So you have to chant impure, nam abhas, trying not to commit the 10 offenses, so you can get to shuddhanam. That's what will get you there. Does that make sense? Nabadweep is, well, that's a bad example. Calcutta. Calcutta is Nam Aparad. And the long bridge, it goes all the way to Mayapur, over the Ganga. And then you get to Mayapur, and that's Shuddhanam, the birthplace of Kirtan. So, how long will it take to cross the bridge? From Nam Aparad to Shuddhanam. It only took the prostitute 3 days of hearing Haridas Thakur chant the holy name for her to get to Shuddhanam. So there's hope for us. There's hope that we can get to Shuddhanam. But the point is, that's the goal. And we should be aware of that's the goal. Now, I'm going to read what I just read. Because okay, hold your question for one moment and then I'll read this. If one is sufficiently greedy for obtaining pure devotion, he'll chant free from the 10 offenses. You remember we were saying, why do we commit offenses? So he's really giving the reason. We're not greedy for pure devotion, because if we were, we wouldn't commit the 10 offenses, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yeah, Mahatma's really greedy for pure devotion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I'm so greedy for pure devotion that when I chant Krishna's name, I go to sleep. I'm so excited that Krishna's present in his name, that when Krishna shows up, I fall asleep. Is that embarrassing? We should be embarrassed. Krishna is in his name. Krishna appears in his name. We call him, he comes, and we fall asleep. Not a very high level of realization of the holy name, is it? If one is sufficiently greedy for obtaining pure devotion, he'll chant free from the 10 offenses. So what's his next statement? He's making a logical, he's speaking logically here. He doesn't say therefore, but I'll add therefore, because it makes sense. Therefore, he must diligently, who knows what diligent means? Very attentive. Careful. He must diligently avoid each of the offenses with feelings of deep repentance for having ever committed them. So wonderful, isn't it? To actually be repentant for committing Nam Aparad. He should pray sincerely at the lotus feet of the holy name and chant with determination. Only then will he be blessed with the mercy of the holy name, which will destroy all of his offenses. No other activity or penance can possibly exculpate, overcome his offenses. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us an insight in how to overcome offenses. That we should chant to the holy name in the mood of forgiveness for ever having committed offenses. Because the holy name is a person. So you can chant to the holy name, you can speak from your heart to the holy name when you chant. So you had a question. Do we have a wireless microphone? Otherwise I'll repeat the question. Yes?
Actually, every day when we are chanting 16 rounds, that is 1728 times, is there a possibility that at least once you would have called out the holy name?
Oh, you're saying every day we chant 1,016?
1,078.
1,728 times we do japa. Don't we chant one pure name? You still have any material desire? Then you haven't. You may have less material desire, so you're getting closer to Mayapur. But when you get to Mayapur, it's a state where it won't... No, if Krishna is merciful, maybe he'll let you chant one pure name. But generally, we can say that. Yes, but Krishna may be kind to give us a glimpse. But generally, we understand that when we chant the pure name, that's when love awakens in the heart. And we can't chant the pure name unless we're pure. So you're getting a little closer, you know. Maybe sometimes your chanting is 6 in the morning, you had a good day, it was like the sun at 7:30, but it's not noontime until you're more pure. But the name is so merciful, and kirtan is so merciful, that you can get glimpses of higher states of bhakti. So it's true, yes, Krishna may give us glimpses of a higher taste and a higher state, but they're just special drops of nectar to keep us going. But generally we understand we're on the clearing stage. So we're going to do an exercise. Well, let me read something more to you about repentance before we do the exercise. Okay, what I wanted to do, we're going to do an exercise, and I'm just going to tell you what it is, but I don't want you to do it now, because we're going to talk a little more about repentance. But what you're going to do in the exercise is you're going to write down what you feel you've done in your chanting that is offensive to Krishna. Say, Krishna, you know, I chant and I do my email or something. I neglect you, I don't think, whatever it is. We'll do that shortly. You'll make your list. And then we'll do some chanting in the mood of repentance to overcome those. So, I did a little investigation of repentance and how it comes up in our own tradition. Because it sounds like a very Christian thing. It's not like you're told to be repentant normally. I mean, do you wake up thinking, oh, I've done something wrong, I should be repentant? Not normally. So the definition of repentance is to feel sorry for what one has done, to be remorseful, regretful, dissatisfied over something you've done in the past. So, you know the story in the Bhagavatam when the son of a Brahmin named Sringi garlanded Maharaj Parikshit? What did he garland him with? Snakes. What? Dead snakes. He was very angry. He insulted him. And the boy's father regretted, and I think the boy eventually regretted it also. So Prabhupada says, repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. Repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. You just relate this to chanting. It will be very revealing to you. Sometimes we feel bad when we don't chant well, but we don't repent. Then we do the same mistake the next day. Oh, I should have chanted better. I feel discouraged that I didn't chant well. I could have done better. Any of you have that experience this morning? You didn't chant as well as you would have liked to, and you had some... You weren't feeling so good, right? I could have done better, I got distracted, I didn't get up early like that. Did any of you feel really good this morning? Some good japa? Who had some good japa? At least some of you did. Who had some okay japa? We had some good japa and bad japa all at the same time. Some good, some bad. Okay. So if we have bad japa, then we're being instructed here that we should repent. Now, the nice thing is, if we really understand this, then when we're chanting and we realize we're not chanting well, at that point we can repent to the Holy Name and say, please forgive me. So we can correct ourselves while we're chanting. It's a very powerful process. The story of Maharaj Bharat. Maharaj Bharat, due to his attachment to a deer, became a deer in his next life. But Krishna, to help him remember that mistake, allowed him to remember his last life and the mistake he made. And Prabhupada says, although Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things. So, he wasn't blaming Krishna, he was blaming himself for the mistake. And his repentance for the mistake caused him in that life to become detached because he didn't want to make the same mistake again. That's why he became Jada. He didn't talk to anybody. Jada means dumb, like mad, kind of like stone. He detached himself because he didn't want to make the same mistake. So it's showing how repentance corrects behavior. Here's something from Prabhupada. I don't know where it's from. No, this is from a lecture. Even a devotee may sometimes commit some sinful activity, either unknowingly or due to past sinful behavior. So saying even it might happen. Accidentally something happens. But if he sincerely repents, thinking, I should have not done this, I am so sinful that I have again committed this sin, the Supreme Lord will excuse him on the basis of his genuine repentance. However, if he intentionally commits sinful activities, expecting that the Lord will forgive him because he is chanting Hare Krishna, that is inexcusable. So that's the offense of committing sin on the strength of chanting. So here we see the idea again. The repentance means I'm not going to do it again. But if he's not repenting, he may think it's okay. So hopefully we're starting to realize it's not okay to commit offense to the Holy Name. That's not right. And we should feel bad about it. And we should make amends to correct that. What's that? The microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, apparently a person commits sin because he got a taste for it.
Yes.
So on the other hand, you say you should not do offensive chanting, but you got to keep on repeating. So it's a catch-22 situation. Should he give up japa?
Very good question. I've answered this question once according to the teachings of Jiva Dharma. And the answer was so heavy, I had to spend 20 minutes explaining it because everyone in the audience went crazy. So I'm afraid to answer the question according to Jiva Dharma. My short answer is don't commit offense and don't stop chanting. That's really what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. In other words, don't continue chanting making the same offense because that's not ultimately going to help you. But the instruction is chant. Because it's only by chanting that you can move out of aparad. So here we're getting the insight. It's by chanting with repentance that we move from aparad. You see, another time Prabhupada said, you know, when somebody wanted to chant like 64 rounds or more, and the first thing Prabhupada said, he didn't tell him not to, but he said the real thing is the quality. First master the quality. So it's not just I just chant. But the quality is really where we want to focus. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, yesterday, during the course of the day yesterday, you mentioned that once a person chants the holy name of the Lord, when you pronounce Ra, all these sinful propensities are going out. When you say Ma, the door shuts. So over a period of time when we chant, is it that these propensities will go?
So what's that question? The propensity gets lower while we chant?
Yes.
Yes. So, yes.
Because, you know, committing offenses, once again, the Lord only has to remove our propensities towards this because we have fallen souls, so if you have a bad taste, so also we have to overcome it. So it's only by the mercy of the Lord one can,
all
the acharyas, that you can overcome it.
Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we should, if we're trying to overcome offense, we should pray to Krishna to give us the power to overcome it. So then you have two things. You have the repentance and the prayer for the ability to overcome it. So that's the proper attitude. And then we make great advance very quickly. And then Bhaktivinoda said that all the inclination to commit sin will be purified by chanting. So you see, the thing is, like, the solution is there in pure chanting. That's what will solve all the problems. The problem is getting to pure chanting while we have all the problems that get in the way of pure chanting. So therefore, if the intention is pure chanting and we feel remorseful when we're not purely chanting and we're praying for pure chanting, then we're in the right mood and then the chanting is going to purify us. But if we're just chanting just to get our rounds done and that's our only goal and we're not really intent on advancing, then we'll stay in a very low level. Yes?
Hare Krishna. So regarding the offenses, so we all know that the aparadhas is the biggest obstacle to the chanting of holy name. We are aware, we heard it many times. And in the condition state, the current problem is, even though I earnestly do not wish to commit any of the offense, and I earnestly desire to chant the holy name, still somehow I feel obsessed or helplessly dragged into offenses without, in spite of my earnest desire. It's a kind of insane obsession, all the offenses. So somehow without our earnest desire, I don't want to do it at all, but I was forcibly dragged into it. So that's the hollow state. It's not I don't want to do it, but I'm dragged into it. What to do with that?
What to do in that situation? Well, if you don't want to commit suicide, then I would recommend, I'll tell you a story. I'll say a couple of things. One story was Prabhupada was presented a similar question. The devotee said, I think I'm chanting offensively. The Prabhupada said, are you trying to avoid offenses? And the devotee said, yes, I'm trying to avoid. And Prabhupada said, then it's not offensive if you're trying. You remember earlier I said what distinguishes aparad from namabhas, or the second stage, is the effort. Because Bhakti Siddhanta said, offensive chanting is chanting without making the effort. So that's only half my answer. Because from your question, it sounded to me like you're not really trying. Because there was this sense of helplessness. And when we try, Krishna, as we said yesterday, speaks his Bhagavad Gita to us. So we'll feel less and less helpless and more helped. Right? So if we're feeling completely helpless in the negative sense, not helpless in Krishna, I need your help, in a positive sense, but in the sense of I'm out of control, helpless, that's a sign of that's not really a sign of spiritual life. That's a sign of being under the modes of nature. So then I would question, well, are you really making the effort if you feel totally helpless? So you might feel a little helpless, a little out of control. That's normal. But totally out of control, I would say your effort has to be increased. And you have to understand the details of what the effort is and really sincerely repent and pray to the Holy Name to help you. Bhaktivinoda also said, he said that, you know, this question we all ask, how do I control my mind? He said, actually, in the ultimate end, it's only possible if you get Krishna's mercy. You won't be able to do it any other way. So part of our effort is to pray for the mercy. You see, I'm making my best effort to not chant, to chant without offense. So how am I doing that? Well, one of the ways I do that is I'm praying desperately, Krishna, please help me not make this offense. And that's all you can do. You do that, and Krishna will definitely get better. The Holy Name, again, another aspect of your question is, there was a little bit of a sense that I got in the lack of faith in the Holy Name. Because just saying, I'm helpless, I can't do it. No, the Holy Name is more powerful than that. So if you actually make the effort, the Holy Name will help you overcome the offense. That's the faith that we require. I know I can overcome my offenses because the Holy Name is powerful. And if I pray to the Holy Name and I make an effort, the Holy Name will be kind and will purify me. So we have to have that faith. And we're reading these verses. Now, the Holy Name is the only thing auspicious. It's the only thing in Kali Yuga. So if you're feeling this is it, this is the only thing, then you've become more serious about it. Because if this is the only thing, just like, let's say you had a critical disease and the doctor said, the only thing that is going to cure you is this. You would be very serious about this, wouldn't you? A doctor says, unless you walk 3 miles a day, you're going to have a stroke. I can guarantee you. So this walking 3 miles a day, you will do 365 days a year. Although you haven't walked in the last 20 years, you'll do it because you want to live. So what I think part of our problem is we don't realize how important the Holy Name is in our spiritual life. So we think, if I just do 16 rounds, no matter if they're offensive, no matter I didn't listen, no matter I didn't pray, no matter I had no feeling, no experience, no presence, at least I did them, I'll be okay. You might be okay in the sense you haven't drowned, but you haven't got to the shore. You're just floating. So, you know, those rounds, Bhaktivinoda said that those kinds of rounds keep your head above water, but you're not getting to the shore. So there's hope for you. You can be saved, but you're still in the water. At least something can save you. So that's the idea. Yes.
So our repentance, Bhagavad Gita Samrata Prabhupada has said, the devotee is not need to do something else.
The devotee is?
For repentance, they have to just continue chanting.
He just depends on chanting?
Just continue chanting.
Devotees, if they do some sinful activities or some other things, they don't need to do something special for repentance. They have to continue, keep on chanting.
Yeah. The repentance is, but here Bhaktivinoda is saying, the repentance is the chanting in repentance. Yeah, you don't have to go drink hot ghee. Right? Oh, that's some really bad rounds today. So you're up in the kitchen drinking hot ghee or something. Or, you know, Prabhu, what are you eating today? No, 60-day fast. Last 60 days I chanted bad rounds. No. The cure is to chant. Yeah, the cure is to chant good rounds. That's the simplest answer. The cure for bad rounds is good rounds. Keep chanting with the intention of chanting well.
There's something more about you're saying about Prabhu was saying I'm obsessed. I'm trying, but I'm cannot be with Jivita, offensive and simple activity. So regarding that, how far you know, you can more explain about this. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, he said something like that. That somebody is saying that if I commit millions of offenses, I fall into sensitive cases again and again. But still, I will not give up chanting.
Yeah, not give up chanting.
The Lord in the heart will give me the strength to flee from the offenses and from the simple activity.
Yeah, we spoke about that yesterday. He's saying that due to our conditioning, we should not be discouraged. That we have our determination to continue going. Even if tomorrow you make offenses to the Holy Name, you don't get discouraged because your determination is to continue. But I would say the determination to chant purely, that's what we want. That all, you know. So in that prayer, the determination is to become pure, become a pure devotee. And despite all the obstacles and all the sinful desires in my heart, I will continue. That's a devotee. That's the proper mentality. The verse in Bhagavad Gita?
Asking Krishna the same question. Atakena prayuktoyam pabham charati purushaha. Why is it by force I'm committing, I feel like committing this though I don't intend to? For which Krishna gives a reply immediately. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudvam, mahachino, mahapapa, vidyenam hi vairana. Isn't it? It's only lust within the heart. So the bottom line is how to get out of lust from the heart.
Yeah, we can't do that. That's the whole point is don't give into it. Wait. We gotta stop it otherwise. We're losing track of my, I'm losing my train of thought. Anyway. Bhaktivinoda says here, if perchance the devotee commits nam aparad, then with an anguished heart full of contrition means remorse, he should become eager to chant continuously, for this alone will uproot his previous offenses and also protect him from committing further offenses. So that's the basic attitude of a devotee. Okay? We read yesterday about the devotee, Apichetsudaracharo, we read that verse. You remember? So, Krishna forgives the devotee. So now, just before we do the exercise, I want to end. If you ever read the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a lot of songs of lamentation. And the lamentation is that he is remorseful for his past sinful activities and also for the consciousness that created the sinful activities. So it's very much part of our tradition. Many, many, many songs of Bhaktivinoda are just songs of repentance. Songs of admittance of fault. So that's part of Krishna consciousness. In that admittance is the intention to improve. That's the whole point. The admittance of the fault is with the intention to overcome it and improve. So, I wanted to chant little japa. I don't even know, is it necessary for you to write down your namaparads? You're pretty familiar with them. Do you really have to write them down? You know, well, I want to read something about inattention from Bhaktivedanta Thakur. I think that will help us. This is what Bhaktivedanta describes as inattention. Inattention is what he describes as the cause of all offenses. So what does inattention mean? Even if one successfully overcomes all the other offenses in chanting, and one is chanting continuously, love of God may not come. One should know that the reason for this is that one is committing the offense known as pramada, or inattention. This offense will block progress to prema. So we've overcome all the other offenses. This is the one. This is the one I started with on Friday night. I said, this is the problem. Because in doing all the japa workshops and in my own life, this is really, you know, the other ones are not so common. This, everybody deals with this. So what does he mean? He says, inattentiveness and negligence are synonymous. They're the same. Negligence. What does negligence mean? Mothers, you know what negligence means. Why did you put that there? Why did you do that? Why don't be more careful? Negligence is you're not careful. You put the cup of water on the corner of the table where it's about to fall off. That's negligence. You left your money in your car and forgot to lock it. That's negligence. Of course, in New York, you left your money in your car and you locked it. That's also negligence. It'll get stolen. Negligent chanting sows the seeds of anarthas, which soon fructify. Well, what are the seeds of anarthas? Well, I don't like chanting. I'm still very, very materially attached. I don't feel bhakti when I chant. One of the symptoms of anarthas, one of the strong symptoms is what we were talking about yesterday. I know I should do this, but... You ever run into that problem? Yeah, Prabhu, I know I should, but... I know I should get up early, but... I know I shouldn't criticize, but... I know I should finish my rounds in the morning, but... I know I shouldn't eat 14 gulab jamuns at 11 at night, but those are some of the seeds of anartha. I mean, there are many, but that's one. Because, you see, it goes back to the understanding that the holy name is so powerful that it will help us overcome all obstacles. We read that verse earlier this morning. So if we have that faith, how important is it to chant properly? Because I know all my problems will be overcome if I do this, if I just do this. That's faith in the holy name. Inattentiveness is of three kinds. How many kinds?
Three kinds.
Turn to the devotee next to you and say, Prabhu, three kinds of inattentiveness. How many?
Three.
First one, apathy, means no resolve, no determination. Apathy means I don't care. Prabhu, that's not good for you. I know, I don't care. That's apathy. It manifests as a lack of resolve, lack of determination. I just don't care. My mind's wandering, my rounds are bad, I don't care. Just Hare Krishna, like that. Can anybody relate to apathy in chanting? Can you relate? We can relate to apathy in so many areas of our life. Second, laziness. Or inertia. Inertia means you can't get going, can't even start. Lazy means you're kind of doing it, but you're lazy. Inertia is like it's hard to even chant the first round. Or you chant it, but it's hard to keep going. Lazy means you're chanting, you're not really trying. Not really, no effort. I'll chant, but I won't make much effort. Anyone experience that? I think this is really, really one of the biggest ones. We're chanting, but we're just not making the effort because it's too much trouble. The third one, distraction. Placing one's attention on things other than bhakti. Distraction means particularly being distracted by material things and material attachments. Okay, we're going to read more. Maybe all your questions will be answered. But I have a certain train of thought I want to keep going. So we'll have a break after and we can have questions for those who want. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. People are naturally attached to material things. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Their memories are absorbed in matter. On the one hand, someone chants the holy name, but his mind and attention are far away from his chanting. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Well, hopefully, the next time I come back and I ask the question, you'll go, no. Even if he chants one lakh holy names on his mala, not a drop of taste for the Lord's name is produced in his heart. This is a vivid example of inattentive chanting and its result. It is difficult to restrain the heart of a materialist from such offenses. So we can't be materialists and chant properly. That's what Bhaktivinoda is saying. If you want to be materialist, you see, this was the point of the exercise we did yesterday on surrender, that if you're resistant to go forward, you remain a materialist, then you can't really chant because you don't want it. You don't want what the name will give. Oh my God, if that liquid nectar, if a drop of that enters my heart, I'll lose interest in so many things. I'm not ready for that. So then inattentive chanting tends to overtake us because we can't really connect with the mood of chanting because maybe we don't want it. So you see how inattentive chanting is so dangerous. Not a drop of taste for the Lord's name is produced in his heart. So he's saying this is a symptom. This is how you know. And what have we been saying all along? How do you know if your chanting is good? It doesn't feel like a chore. Now, I want to digress for one important point. Is everyone still awake? See, the thing is, I'm trying to include 5 days worth of talks in two and one night, so I'd rather do more chanting, but I think this is important. Have any of you ever said, when you have some rounds left, I have to finish my rounds? How many of you have ever said that? Okay, ladies who are married, if you were in the room with your husband and his friend, and you and your husband had planned a family trip for the day with the kids, and your friend said to your husband, you want to go out and do something, whatever it is, something he really likes doing. And he says to his friends, I'm sorry, I can't, I have to spend the day with my family. How would you feel? Very what?
Very good.
Angry.
Very good.
Oh, very good? Oh, you don't like your husband. Offended, probably offended. and I love to go with you, but I have to spend time with my wife. You think you have to spend time with me? You don't want to? No, I didn't mean that. Well, what did you mean? No, it's just that he was, I don't, Time to go out and buy her some gold earrings to make up, right? So, when we say, I have to chant, what did we just say? I'm not attracted, I don't want to. It's simply my duty and I'm going to do it. Which is, of course, it's good that we do it. It's good that you finish your rounds and it's good that you feel the duty to do it. But when you take the holy name to be a person, then there's a relationship there. Say, Prabhu, I have 4 rounds to chant. I have to go now. I'm looking really forward to spending the next half hour with the holy name. Hare Krishna. That's what we should say, right? Is there a difference between I have and I want to? Do you know when you use words, they affect your consciousness? Do you know when you say I have to, you've just created a consciousness of chore, of doing something you don't want? When you say I get to, I want to, I love to, Prabhu, I have 4 rounds today, I have 4 rounds left, I'd love to spend more time with you, but now I'm going to do my favorite activity and finish my rounds. That's a symptom that we're chanting properly. That's what he's saying here. If we commit offense, not a drop of taste for chanting the holy name. I have to finish my rounds. I'm going to have a great time tonight chanting those last 4 rounds. You ever chanted 4 rounds late at night? And what is the mantra you're chanting? I'm so tired, I wish I could go to sleep. I'm so tired, I wish I could go to sleep. We shouldn't have to finish these rounds. Damn, why didn't I finish them in the morning? That's the mantra we're chanting. Have any of you ever chanted that mantra late at night? Yeah. So, okay, we're chanting Hare Krishna, but are we chanting Hare Krishna? Are we getting the fruit of chanting Hare Krishna? So this is how we know if we're actually chanting, because there'll be fruit. Correct? Yes or no?
Yes.
Taking note. Okay. So here's the cure. One must make it his daily routine to chant for an hour in the company of a saintly Vaishnava in a lonely, secluded spot. Of course, this was another time. In other words, I guess in those days you could walk down the street and find a sadhu. Find your local sadhu, in the local cave. Because the sadhus used to chant in caves. You know that? They didn't want to be distracted. Taking note of the Vaishnava's devotional attitude and his relish for the holy name, the neophyte should try to emulate this mood and gradually rid himself of his apathy to chanting. So, solution. If you're, like Prabhupada there was saying, if you just feel you're out of control, then run to your local sadhu. Sit down next to him when he's chanting japa or when she's chanting japa and take shelter. Okay. Another effective method to remove apathy towards the holy name is to sit in a closed room alone and meditate on the name as did the previous sages. If that is not possible, one should then cover his head and face with a cloth and concentrate on the holy name. Slowly one develops attraction for the holy name. Apathy and inattentiveness will gradually vanish. So what does he mean here? What he's saying is that one of the problems that we have when we chant is we become distracted. So he's saying, either sit at the feet of a sadhu or go somewhere where you won't be distracted and focus, because inattentive chanting means you're not trying, you're apathetic, you're lazy, and you're distracted. Previously, the sages would often find a hole in the ground or a cave to chant, so they wouldn't be distracted. So in our chanting, we should be conscious that if you are chanting in a room and everyone else is doing something else, you're going to be distracted. And the quality of your chanting will not be as good as if you are in a room when nothing is going on and there's no sound around to distract you. It's what we call in the japa retreat your sacred space. That's the ideal place to chant. So devotees ask me, Prabhu, is it okay if I chant when I walk? Is it okay if I chant here, if I chant there? How do you know if it's okay or not? You know by whether it's an environment which is distracting you or not. That's a simple way to tell. If you go into an environment in which you're not distracted, generally speaking, your rounds are going to be better without any effort on your part, just because there's no distraction. And if you go into a distracting environment, generally your rounds will not be so good, even if you make great effort. Because why would you want to paddle upstream? Wouldn't it be better to float downstream than paddle upstream? So when you're in a environment where there's a lot going on, you're basically paddling upstream and you're jumping. It's really, really difficult. You're putting out a lot of energy and you're not really attentive. But if you're in an environment which is conducive to chanting, such as we said yesterday, like early in the morning, then it's very natural to be focused. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, one other thing before we begin chanting. Just a little mention about laziness. Try to notice when you're chanting how you are sitting or standing. Because your posture is a manifestation of your mental attitude. So if you find yourself chanting like lounging,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Then immediately, if you are, as Bhaktivinoda said, greedy for chanting a pure holy name, immediately you will recognize I'm in pramada, I'm being lazy, because the physiology is a sign of the effort I'm putting in. Generally, when you put in effort, it's more like this, right? Okay, let's chant some good rounds. You get ready, right? If two boxers enter a boxing ring to have a match, they don't go in the corner like this. They're like this, right? They're ready to fight. Okay, let's have a fight. So you just be aware that your physiology is following the determination of your effort. Another thing you're going to see is that after you chant 6-8 rounds, there's what I call the there is a movie in America. I can't remember. But it's like the 8-round something. I don't know, maybe you can come up with a word. It's like, I notice in a lot of temples, at 8 rounds, the energy in the temple goes way down. And people start walking out, getting distracted, looking at their watch. I can't think of a good word, but maybe you could think, you could make a poster. Watch out for the 8-round demon. Something like that. Yeah.
Cruise mode. You're going to a cruise mode.
Cruise, the 8-round cruise, yeah. Inattention strikes on the 8th round. So, these are just things to be aware of for yourself. You know, you're outside waiting for somebody to come and you're leaned up against the car Right? You ever do that? Lean against the car, chant a little round. Hare Krishna. You know. Really attentive rounds, really concentrated.
Hare Krishna, you know.
So it's just an awareness. My body is indicating what my mind is doing. I've just kind of lessened the energy level, and those are my whole body lessons. So it's just something to be aware of. So let's chant a little bit. In the mood of Bhakti Vinod. Oh, actually, he says more. Prabhus, it gets worse. O devotees, please listen attentively to how badly you chant. Indulging in laziness prevents a person from relishing the nectar of the holy name. He begins by chanting and remembering the holy name, but very soon feels it unendurable and wants to sleep. Anyone experience that? So we decided to open a clinic for insomnia because we discovered the cure. And we'll instruct people how to chant inattentively, and it'll be a guaranteed cure. You just take these beads at night and just chant, but make sure you don't try. Make sure your mind wanders, you're completely distracted, and in no time you'll get totally bored and fall asleep. If that doesn't work, read a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And you'll be out for at least 10 hours. Krishna, I know you're beautiful, but I'm really tired. So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says at the end. And this will be the mood with which we chant. It is impossible for the jiva to single-handedly avoid and overcome the illusion of distraction. By the mercy of the Lord, however, this is accomplished with ease. Therefore, it is essential to fervently beg for the Lord's grace with great humility. This is the jiva's only means of salvation. So what we're going to do now is we're going to beg the holy name for mercy to overcome aparad. And this should be a regular practice that we can engage in. And we're going to chant in this mood of the second verse of the Shishastakam. I'm so unfortunate I can admit offenses. We're going to follow the calling of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to chant with a mood of repentance. And while you're chanting, maybe you begin to remember that day when you were chanting, lying in bed, you weren't even having enough desire to chant sitting up, or that time you were chanting, doing your email, the time you were chanting, reading the newspaper, the time you were chanting, walking down the street, and totally distracted, the time you were chanting and cooking, chanting and cleaning, chanting and watching television.
Chanting and driving.
We had a whole discussion about chanting and watching television because we heard some devotees had gotten together to watch the Super Bowl in America and were chanting japa. And one devotee said, I didn't chant japa watching the Super Bowl. I only chanted during the commercials. He missed that section in the japa workshop on sacred space. It just went one ear and out the other. Anyway, so let's, as we're chanting, we may remember these things we've done. We should feel, as Bhaktivinoda said, remorseful. It's part of the process of bhakti. And help us overcome and put ourselves on a new path, because as of Friday night, every day our japa is going to improve, right? It's going to get better. By the time I come back, you'll all be pure devotees. It'll be wonderful. Hare Krishna.